Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Lisa Maxwell, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. And today I will be reading Education Today. For today's episode, I'm actually going to be reading from Braille Forum, which is the official publication of the American Council of the Blind. And I'm going to start off by reading some articles from the November and December 2025 publication. And the first one that I have for you is titled Advocacy in Action. And this is by Claire Stanley. The National Office has been so excited by the overwhelming response to the use of the Speak For platform. If you are not familiar with the tool, the platform enables us to share a brief summary of a bill before Congress, then provides a letter template for members to send to their Congress members. By quickly typing in your address, the Speak For system will direct your letter, either the pre-drafted letter or an edited version of your own with a personal anecdote, to the correct office. It's that easy. Every time I look at the response numbers, I am filled with excitement. You are all responding in great numbers. It is so important to let our voices be heard in Congress, and this tool makes it easier than ever. Thank you all for using the tool and letting your voices be heard. Additionally, state and special interest affiliates are now using the platform as well. ACB can work with affiliates to create their own campaigns. The Bay State Council was the inaugural affiliate to utilize the platform. The Speak For platform enables campaigns to be sent to legislators at the state level as well as the federal level. If your affiliate would like to create a state or topic-specific campaign, please reach out to Claire Stanley. That is C-S-T-A-N-L-E-Y at acb.org. Let's keep using our voices to tell our legislators how we feel about proposed legislation. And here are some current active Speak For campaigns. Disability and Age and Jury Service Non-Discrimination Act, EDVI and C, the Board, the Older Americans Reauthorization Act, Disaster Relief Medicaid Act, Disability Access to Transportation Act, and last, Transformation to Competitive Integrated Employment Act. The next article I have for you is Live Translation on AirPods, Conversations Without Borders, and this is written by Anthony Corona. I have been playing with Apple's new live translation feature using my AirPods Pro 2, and let me tell you, it is one of those things that feels futuristic, but also takes a little getting used to. Think of it as the cousin of Siri, Translate, and your AirPods all rolled into one, helping you bridge the gap in those moments when you and the person in front of you do not share a common language. How it works. At its simplest, live translation listens to what someone is saying in one language, translates it on the iPhone in real time, and then plays the translated version into your ear. You hear it in your preferred language, and you also see a transcript on the screen. When you respond, your words are translated back into their language and can be read on the screen or spoken out loud through the iPhone's speaker. The important thing to know is that translation is not word by word. It happens in little chunks. That means there is a pause while the person speaks, then a moment later you hear the translation. When you are just trying to understand something being said, this feels pretty seamless. The challenge comes when you want to have a full back-and-forth conversation, because then you are juggling earbuds, the iPhone, and making sure the other person can see and hear their side of the translation. Everything stays on device for privacy. Apple supports live translation with AirPods Pro 2 and newer, and AirPods with active noise cancellation when you have iOS 26 or later with Apple Intelligence turned on. My Uber ride experiment. Picture this. You hop into an Uber in Miami and realize quickly that your driver speaks only Spanish. You need to tell him to drop you at a very specific side driveway entrance of your building. This is the perfect chance to put live translation to the test. I set the languages in the Translate app, pressed and held the stems of my AirPods to start the feature, and told my driver in English exactly where I needed to go. My phone spoke out in Spanish a few moments later, and the driver nodded. He replied in Spanish, and soon enough, my AirPods whispered in my ear. He asked if I wanted him to pull into the driveway. Success. Tips and best practices. Here is where things get interesting. If you just want to listen to someone else and understand them, it really is as easy as putting in your AirPods and letting the system do the work. But if you want to be part of the conversation, there are some tricks worth knowing. Ask the person you're speaking with to slow down a little, at least at the beginning. This gives the system time to capture, translate, and relay before you both fall into a rhythm. Memorize a few key phrases in the other language, such as, "Can you repeat that?" and "Can you repeat that a little more slowly?" These become handy shortcuts when the translation stalls. It can also be helpful to keep a running notes file or document of phrases you pick up as you go. Add new ones when they come up in real conversation and practice them later so they start to become second nature. Download the languages ahead of time so you are not fumbling in the moment. Speak clearly and pause when the other person finishes so the app can catch up. Practice by yourself or with a friend so you can get used to the pace and latency before you really need it. If you are blind like me, turn off your screen curtain temporarily so the other person can read the translated text. Hold your phone in a steady way that lets the microphone pick up their voice without you accidentally tapping the screen and disrupting the translation. Think about placement so the phone is close enough to capture their words and angled so they can glance at the screen when you respond. One more tip. After you have completed your conversation, it can be helpful to review the translated text and practice a few of the phrases. A quick three-finger quadruple tap over a chunk of text will copy it to the iPhone's clipboard history. From there, you can paste it into notes or another document to refer back to and use as practice. Latency and noisy environments. Live translation does a lot in just a couple of seconds, but latency is part of the experience. The system needs a small pause to collect the spoken phrase, run the translation, and play it back. That can feel like a beat or two of silence before you hear the other language in your ear. Noise can also throw it off. Busy airports, train stations, or those big, raunchous family dinners where you are just trying to get someone to pass the paella can be all tricky. The microphones may grab background chatter or clatter instead of the person speaking. In these cases, holding the phone closer to the speaker and politely asking them to repeat more slowly can make all the difference. Final thoughts. Live translation is not magic. There will be moments of delay, misheard words, and a little juggling act as you hand your phone back and forth or tilt it just right. But there is something genuinely exciting about being able to have a conversation that would have been impossible before. With AirPods in and a little patience, you can turn that language barrier into nothing more than a small pause in the conversation. And that feels pretty incredible. Sherry Hepp wrote our next article, Literacy by Any Other Name. There is a staggering drop in literacy for Braille reading in the blindness community. Could that have to do with the fact that it is very difficult to get Braille? Braille books take up 3 times as much space as printed books occupy. They also weigh more. It's like carrying around huge old tomes for just part of a book. Small portable Braille devices already exist with Braille teaching materials and interesting books with note-taking capabilities. That access would improve interest and use of Braille in practical, actionable ways by giving very portable, powerful, modern tools that interface with computers and iPhones and use a writing system that blind people can read and use. Is it that we blind people have to realize that we don't have economic leverage and be grateful for any crumbs sighted people send us, even when it isn't modern and won't really do the full competitive job? Or is it actually the case that blind individuals are not being trained to teach the blind, and sighted people sent to teach the blind don't know Braille themselves and don't want to bother? I call BS. How literate would most able-bodied, sighted people be if they could not get access to pen and paper and instead carried around a notebook-sized slate board and chalk for any written communication? If kids in India and other places make Braille displays and Braille devices and get them to market, how is it that the United States of America keeps putting out the vibe that Braille displays and note takers that blind people already use effectively and readily in very small form factors that offer Braille and all sorts of written, mainstream access to articles and printed materials with them whenever we need it remain out of reach? And those blind people have to be so, so, so deserving. No. No, and no. Braille devices are not like buying a candy bar at the convenience store, but they are available and we should not be discouraged and prevented from getting them. Service groups should help us to obtain Braille note takers and displays. Use recordings, yes, use whatever works because we have to use all the tools we can get to achieve parity. Just try hearing your audio device blabbering in the middle of a professional meeting. Try listening to travel directions in really loud ambient settings like train stations and subway platforms where tactile contact with a Braille display would give directions and information silently and effectively. Federal and state-funded rehab services meant to bring blind people into mainstream work and living fail to provide necessary equipment and services. The gatekeeper mentality needs to go. There are blind individuals using these devices who have enough knowledge of what they do and how they work to keep devices clean, free of grit, and in order, as that old expression goes. Blind people should have Braille displays. Why not give blind people special equipment that directly benefits the blind? Where, in fact, are those dollars going, if not directly, to blind consumer devices? And next we have Kickoff 2026 with Nutrition 101, Building a Healthier You. And this is submitted by Tammy Robbins and Becky Dunkerson. As the holiday season winds down and we step into a brand new year, many of us find ourselves thinking about making healthier choices. While resolutions may come and go, The start of a new year is still a perfect time to refocus on well-being. That's why the American Council of the Blind, Diabetics in Action, or ACBDA, is excited to launch our Nutrition 101 Basics Workshop in January 2026. This 10-week series is designed to encourage a happier, healthier lifestyle for all participants. Whether you are living with diabetes, supporting someone who is, or simply looking for new ways to eat and feel better, this workshop is for you. The program will take place on Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This will begin on January 8th and run through April 2nd. Each session will last no more than 90 minutes and will focus on a different area of nutrition and wellness. The full lineup includes a fresh start, introduction to nutrition basics, rise and shine, building a better breakfast, midday magic, lunch that lasts, dinner time done right, balanced evening meals, sweet balance, desserts without the guilt, smart bites, snacks that satisfy, move to improve, activity and movement, mindful moments, eating with awareness, tech tools, accessible apps and nutrition facts, and the last one, cheers to health, celebration and wrap-up. Membership in ACBDA is required to participate. Annual membership is just $10, which also includes access to our quarterly newsletter and other resources. Once your 2026 membership is active, you can register for the workshop for a one-time fee of $15 per participant, covering all 10 sessions. Registration is easy. Simply complete the Nutrition 101 registration form on our website, acbda.org, or reach out for assistance if you need help signing up. The deadline to register is January 2nd, 2026. We invite you to join us for this exciting workshop series, an opportunity to learn, share, and grow alongside others in our community. Let's start the new year by investing in our health and building habits that can last well beyond the season of resolutions. And now I have two articles to share with you from the October edition of the Braille Forum. And the first one is Intuition, Equity, and the Echo of Humanity. And this is by Anthony Corona. There is a quiet but undeniable force that lives in all of us. It transcends identity, status, physical ability, or even belief systems. It is ancient, unpolished, unteachable. It is intuition. It is our gut feeling. It is the internal radar we are born with, the one that whispers truths even when the world shouts otherwise. In a time of multiple truths, alternative facts, divisive narratives, and increasingly weaponized words, this internal compass may be the most powerful tool we still possess. I was asked recently to write about diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility from the perspective of someone who is blind, employed, constantly on the move, and actively advocating across both the blind and low vision and LGBTQIA+ communities. And I keep coming back to this. Amidst the chaos of what we see and hear, what are we feeling? Because what we're seeing and hearing is a lot. We're watching protections be stripped away. We're witnessing legislation that once stood for fairness and access be torn down or ignored. We are watching accessibility, once considered a baseline for equity, now recast as a burden or even a threat. We are seeing DEIA efforts hijacked and reframed to justify hateful rhetoric and institutional cruelty. And yet, beyond the shouting matches and scrolling headlines, there's that flicker, that buzz in the back of the mind, that twinge in the stomach, that moment of knowing something is not right. That's where it starts. It starts with intuition. It's the goosebumps when someone says something that cuts too close to erasure. It's the lump in your throat when a politician smiles while stripping you of rights. It's the ache in your stomach when your organization says all the right things, but acts in all the wrong ways. It's the knowing, the undeniable knowing that something vital is being lost. We must learn to listen to that voice. It is our built-in lie detector, our inner truth teller. When media spins, when politicians scream, when organizations preach but do not practice, our intuition stands unshaken, whispering, that does not align with who we are. But here's the truth many of us need to reckon with. Silence is complicity. Choosing not to act, choosing not to speak, choosing not to engage out of a desire to remain neutral or non-confrontational is still a choice. It is action. And more often than not, it is a silent nod of approval to the very rhetoric and policies we claim to reject. When we ignore our gut feelings in favor of comfort, we are not avoiding harm. We are allowing it to grow unchecked. At the same time, advocacy does not have to be loud. It does not have to be dramatic or performative. It does not have to involve picket signs or public confrontations. It can be a quiet unfollowing of an ugly voice. It can be a small but intentional comment of support or a gentle rebuke in a space where it matters. It can be an email. It can be a phone call. What it cannot be, what it must never be, is a feeling without action. We must demand better from others, but first we must demand it from ourselves. We must each examine the ways we uphold or ignore equity. We must call out hypocrisy and opt into the uncomfortable work. We must act, because without personal action, no amount of advocacy or legislation can sustain progress. Where does change happen? It happens in both directions, top down and grassroots up. Yes, leadership must model DEIA in policy and practice, but those of us on the ground must rise to meet that moment. Words are not enough. Social media statements are not enough. We must show up, speak up, participate, not only when it's convenient or trending. Inclusion is not just making room at the table. Equity is not a checkbox. Accessibility is not a footnote. These are living, breathing values, and they require constant care. Inclusion means you are willing to sit beside me. Equity means you are willing to walk with me. Accessibility means you are willing to remove the barriers so I can get in the room to begin with. And diversity means celebrating the fact that I am there. In the end, I return to the truth I've known all along. Diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility are not abstract ideals. They are the beating heart of humanity. Humanity is standing up when it's easier to sit down. Humanity is letting go of ego in favor of compassion. Humanity is seeing difference not as something to manage, but something to honor. Humanity is not tolerating one another, it is valuing one another. We are all different, and those beautiful differences, when respected and protected, form the very foundation of what links us together. It's time to stop treating these words as checkboxes or buzzwords. It's time to treat them as what they really are. The blueprint for a better world. The embodiment of humanity itself. And our next article is by Beth Terranova, Artificial Intelligence and Critter Identification. There are so many things in life, first of all, life itself, to be grateful for, and I have chosen artificial intelligence, or AI, as my topic. Using the Be My AI feature in the Be My Eyes app on my iPhone has been a joy and a door opener to more of life. Examples range from reading package directions in hard copy print, getting descriptions of online images, and critter ID. That one deserves some explanation. I was sitting in my recliner one afternoon and my foot hit a hard object. I picked up the said surprised and I thought I knew what it was, but I wanted to find some clue, so I placed it on the table and kept checking to be sure it was there. It was, until it wasn't. I ran into it, gently stepping on it a day or two later near my back porch. This was serious now. I got a little anxious, so I put it in a Ziploc bag and placed it on a table, thinking that I would call the security people in my senior living facility if the bag and thing disappeared. It didn't, so I somewhat gingerly took a picture with Be My AI, and sure enough, it was what I had thought, a turtle. I had had pet turtles as a kid, and this looked similar. The available AI tools keep multiplying and improving, and this can only advance the lives of the blind, visually impaired, and people with other disabilities. The blind benefit from color, people and object identification, light detection, checking food expiration dates, identifying and accessing information about products with either remote or in-person shopping, orientation and mobility apps, and combine hardware and software products, indoor navigation, maybe even future screen readers, scene descriptions, and hailing a taxi. Examples will continue to emerge. Eye tracking technology will be a game changer for people who cannot control technology with their hands, as will real-time sign language interpretation for the deaf. Consider the upcoming ability to have AI tell a blind person what is on a screen, necessary when screen readers quit or do not read correctly. Artificial intelligence will continue to grow in its ability to decrease or eliminate the need for human assistance for people with disabilities, a dream which has been cherished by the able and disabled alike. Artificial intelligence will never get tired, angry, or impatient. It will probably seldom be unavailable when help is needed. Let us all strongly and always advocate for the existence and growth of AI, providing examples and future sought-after improvements. We've run out of time for today's episode of Education Today. Please be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed today's show, and I'm Lisa Maxwell for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. You can listen to and share Education Today as a podcast, now available on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions from today's episode, or wish to share a topic that you want us to explore, please call us at 919-832-5138. You may also reach us via email at info@ncreadingservice.org. We look forward to hearing from you. So long until next time.